Hey everyone, welcome to the Motion Church Weekly Podcast. On this podcast, we share some thoughts from our weekly gatherings as home churches, as well as our messages from when we all get together. It's our desire to help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus, and we hope that this podcast encourages you to walk in that way. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy this episode. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Caleb and Shannon with the Motion Church Weekly Podcast. We are excited to be with you this week, and we are looking at John chapter 9. We went through an entire chapter. John gives us one amazing story here in John chapter 9, one that is probably familiar to many of us that are listening. If you've been in church probably any short period of time, you've probably heard this story. Whether preached or in passing, just people talking about the amazing things that Jesus has done. And this story in particular is about healing a man that was born blind. And so there's a lot going on here. Wonderful story, amazing thing that Jesus did in this man's life. And we see that this man wasn't just thankful for the physical healing that Jesus brought. He was given the opportunity to trust in Christ for salvation, and he did that as well. And so, great story. We're going to get into some things here. We just want to kind of set up the context for this. If you have been following with us since we've been doing the study of John, then you've probably been hearing us talk about this quite often. But previously in John chapters 7 and 8, we had the Feast of Booths. And so we said the two main kind of themes of the Feast of Booths were water and light. And these two things were just helping the children of Israel remember how God led them out of captivity, led them through the wilderness, fed them in the wilderness, and provided living water from a rock. And so all of these things that went on in the Feast of Booths was reminding them of how great God was. And Jesus, during the Feast of Booths, he stood up and he made some very bold statements. He said that he is the light of the world. And he said he was the only one who could satisfy their thirst. And so he was tapping into these water and light visuals that were happening in the Feast of Booths. And so Feast of Booths at this point was over. And so Jesus is passing by, it says in John chapter 9, verse 1, and he saw a man that was blind from birth. And so Jesus is walking along. We are given the information in verse 2 that his disciples were with him. It says, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And so we're introduced right away into the two really key main themes of this passage, of this story. And the first one is blindness, and that is a very key theme here in this story, really throughout all of John. Dark and light is contrasting back and forth. And so blindness here is really taking on a double meaning. What we see in John a lot of times is when he shares things, or when Jesus shares stories, he's not just talking about the physical realm. He's usually giving this dual meaning of the physical and the spiritual. And so there's no difference here. And so we're given this picture of this man that was born blind. And this was a real story, physically happened. Jesus healed this man from being blind, gave him sight. And so we also are given insight into that mankind is born spiritually blind. We're not all born physically blind, though there are some people, you know, that are born blind, but we are all spiritually blind. And so Jesus said he is the light of the world. So we all are born into darkness, and Jesus came as the light of the world. And so we're going to see that as we go through this as well. But then the second theme that we're introduced here is from verse 2, and it's the disciples. They immediately have this question for Jesus, and they say, "Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And so they go after this idea that sin causes suffering. And that is a very true statement. And they were right in knowing that. They weren't necessarily right or correct in assigning specifically sin to this man's suffering. When we get into the specifics, that's when we can really begin to hurt people and say, oh, this sin caused this. But so the disciples here ask Jesus, you know, who sinned? Did this guy sin or did his parents sin? He was born blind. I mean, this is crazy, being born without the ability to see. And so Jesus tells them, hey, this isn't, you know, the correct way to think, because there's another way. There's another reason why this man could have been born blind. And in verse 3, Jesus answered. He said, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so, you know, we were introduced into this idea of sin and suffering. Does sin cause suffering? And absolutely, that's true. But Jesus also tells us that sometimes suffering comes in our life so that God can be glorified. And we have to remember that, because that's comforting in our suffering, knowing that anything that we go through, that God can receive the glory for that. But we also can take heart in the fact that our Savior was not immune to suffering. Jesus suffered immensely when he went to the cross for us. And he was tempted as in all points like we were, yet without sin. And so suffering was something Jesus was not immune to. And so we can take encouragement in that. And so those are kind of two of the main themes going on here. I'm going to pass it along to Shannon. He has some things he wants to kind of share with us through this story. This has been a meaningful story in his life. And so, Shannon, go for it.
Yeah, this is, as I shared on Saturday, this is one of my favorite narratives in the Bible. And it just really, it really resonates with our walk with the Lord, and I think it really can be a great source of encouragement. Yet at the same time, it's, I think, a major challenge for us to really look at our own heart and our own lives and where we're at with our walk with Jesus. Because we have a situation here where we have this guy, like you said, you were leading up to, he was born blind. They have a big old challenge here. Okay, why was he blind? He was blind, so he had to have been, it had to have been sin, right? Mm-hmm. And with forgetting the fact that even though Israel was God's people, that didn't make them immune to sin, even though they'd like to think that at times in the way they talked and acted. But the fact of the matter is we live in a sin-cursed world. There is tragedy. Yep. And sadness and madness and craziness all around us, and we all are stricken with the curse of sin, and that doesn't have to destroy us, though, you know. Yep. It's kind of cool to think that Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Everybody in Jesus' day had him to look to. Mm-hmm. And for us today in the church, Jesus is in us. We have the Spirit of God within us, and so we become the representatives of that. Yep. That light in the world. And so even in our suffering, even in our struggles, we have that hope and that joy and that light in the darkness. And this guy here, I think, is what an exemplary example of someone who gets it. Mm-hmm. And you have a great parallel, because you have a man here who never saw light. He was born in darkness because he was blind from birth, and he has the Messiah do an amazing work in his life, and he recognizes it and acknowledges it. And then you have the religious leaders who kick him out of the synagogue, who have the very word and are teachers of the word, who if anyone should have seen the light is them,
right?
And they're completely blind to the truth. And I love this guy who, even though he was blind, he still had obviously a standing in the synagogue. He obviously was still a part of that. We know he had family because his parents were brought before the religious leaders. And so he has still a connection in with his community and his culture, and he's going to lose it all for the decision that he makes. And it's a simple truth. He was blind. Jesus made him see. End of story. And throughout this whole thing, he just holds his ground to the truth. You know, I like how you brought up again, how they keep, you know, saying, how did you get your sight restored? How did you get your sight restored? Who gave you, you know, your vision? They keep asking that question over and over again. And it says there in verse 24, so for the second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, give glory to God, which is great because that's what he does, right? And they don't like it. Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And, you know, he's not going to get into this whole match with him, this whole verbal game. Because he answers, whether he's a sinner, I don't know. How am I supposed to know that? I can't look into the heart of people. And it's almost like he's telling them, you know what? You can't either.
Right.
You know? I don't know. But this one thing I do know. Though I was blind, now I see. And they go, they keep going again. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I've told you already. And you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? And of course, you know, he's the intelligent one. Yeah. Of all the people, they should have known. And he's like, guys, it's right there. Mm-hmm. It's right there. And of course, they get mad. They kick him out of the synagogue. He loses all of his standing, any kind of connection with his community, and cast him out. And he encounters Jesus again. And if anybody could have been bitter and angry and upset and just giving up on it all, was him.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jesus comes again. And he hears that they had cast him out. And so he found him and he goes, do you believe in the Son of Man? And his first response, now this he's seeing now, is, and who is he, sir? That I may believe in him. And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. So Jesus basically says, it's me.
Yeah.
It's the one that's done this thing for you. So he grew up in the synagogue. He's heard the scriptures. So he's able to take all the things the scriptures say about the Messiah. He sees it played out in Jesus's healing of his vision. And he said there in verse 38, the man says, Lord, I believe. And right away, he worshiped him.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't ask for more proof. He didn't, you know, wrestle and argue and go, yeah, oh, that's great that you're the Messiah. But what are you going to, you know, what about these guys that are, no. He stayed focused on his situation and where it needed to be. And he believed Jesus and he worshiped him.
Yeah.
Right there. Right then and there. And I, there's such an awesome, I think, simplicity in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we miss that. We keep trying to find answers. We want to have these secrets, these hidden wisdoms. We want to, you know, and it's simply, there's Jesus. He's done a change in my life. I believe him. He is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He is Lord.
Yeah.
And what a great contrast with this guy to the lame man that Jesus healed at the pool.
Right.
You know, what a grumpy sourpuss he was. And he didn't even know it was Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, that was doing all that. And so I think he's a great counter balance. Yeah. And I think the encouragement for us is to see what Jesus can do in our life. And our situation may seem grim, but Jesus can do an amazing thing in that. And then on the flip side, it's also a challenge that we don't become so caught in ourselves that we then act like the religious leaders there and miss the truth that's right before our very eyes. Because we can do that.
Yeah,
we can definitely get caught up in our own trappings.
Yeah,
that we miss the healing that we need.
Yeah.
In our own very hearts. And when the healing does come, we miss who did it and what he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good story. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, you think of the people that he was around. I mean, we don't know how old the guy was at this point, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it says his neighbors, everybody was like, isn't this the guy who used to sit and beg? And they, like, weren't even excited for the guy that he could see now.
Exactly. Which is
amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And then we get to his parents, where the Pharisees call his parents in, and they're like, is this really your son? Because they were at the point where they weren't believing that he was the same guy that was born blind. And then his parents are like, yeah, you know, you can talk to him. He's old enough, right? So just ask him. And it was just amazing to me that his own parents, having known that he was born blind and having struggled with him his whole life, because, I mean, it's got to be tough to have a kid, your own child, who's born blind, and then to see Jesus heal him like this, and then to hold on to your own tradition more than to celebrate in the truth and the goodness of who Jesus is and what he did. And
well, imagine that. Well, and John even says they did it because of fear.
Right, right.
Fear of the authority there. And what a shame. What a shame.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, tradition can definitely blind us. And, you know, like you were saying earlier with the Pharisees and, or this guy, when he knew the law, he knew the Old Testament scriptures, and he placed it rightfully on Christ. But the Pharisees, who had been teaching this to this man, just couldn't see it. Couldn't see it.
Yeah. Well, because if they were to see it, they had to acknowledge that they were wrong.
Right.
And that's where pride becomes hard to swallow.
Right.
And we can see that in our churches, that we end up compromising because we're worried about losing what we think is so important. And I, you know, we preach that we need to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. But then we look at our actions and it's like, well, I need to also put, you know, my children's program on there. And don't forget our Christmas program. We got to have our cross and our Christmas program and our Easter program. And hold on a second. We got to throw our outreach program to go out there and try and get more people into our churches. Okay, hold on, Jesus. We'll be up there in just a minute because I got to get the cross, my children's program, my Christmas program, my outreach program. Okay, we got to do that. And oh wait, we got to have all of our different Sunday schools and all in a unified curriculum. So everybody, you know, we got to do that. And you know, and that's what we do.
Yep.
Oh, we got to pick up our cross, but then all of our actions say that, well, no, it's Jesus plus tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we gotta be have our blindness
right
taken away, and we have to be willing to go, man, God, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
What have I done? Yeah. And be willing to lose all of that.
Yep.
To get back to that, take up our cross.
Right.
And follow him.
Yeah.
Follow him.
And, yeah, I think that goes to what Jesus said after the man believes. In John 9, verse 39, Jesus says, for judgment I came into this world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. I mean, that's the difference. Will you acknowledge that you're blind? Because if you don't, you're going to end up getting more and more blind. Mm-hmm. You're just going to continue to be stuck in that cycle of not seeing who Jesus truly is. And that got to the Pharisees, because in verse 40, some of the Pharisees near Jesus heard him say these things, and they said to him, are we also blind? And Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no guilt, or some translations say no sin. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. That's when we take what we have and we say, yeah, we get it. We understand. That's when we're blinded. We need to ask for Jesus to take the blinders off and show himself to us. So, yeah, really good. Want to hit out a couple application points that we talked about from this. The first thing was that we cannot ignore the light of the world. We can't ignore Jesus, and that was John's purpose in this gospel. He's placing Jesus in front of us in such a unique way that we have to make a decision with him. We can't, you know, just sit back and let it go. We have to make a decision. Is Jesus who he says he is, or am I going to stick with my make-believe Jesus and what I think about
him? Exactly.
And so we can't ignore who he is. And so, you know, you might be listening to this podcast and you have never accepted Christ. And we want you to come to that place where you can put your faith and trust in Christ, just like this man. Jesus said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said, "It's me." And he said, "Lord, I believe." That's as simple as it gets. Just believe
in
the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And so if you've never done that, we pray that you would do that and put your faith and trust in Jesus. And then we said, you know, if we have accepted Christ as the light, this passage should remind us that it should remind us to be thankful that we did nothing to deserve, you know, the light.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has brought light into the world, so every person has been given some sort of light to see the truth. And so we didn't deserve any of that. Second thing we said was, if Jesus has opened our eyes spiritually, we need to have an answer for those who ask us how this happened. And you alluded to it, Shannon. We talked about it in the message on Saturday, but they asked this guy four times how his eyes were opened. And it was the Pharisees. They asked him two or three times, how did you receive your sight? They kept asking him and they couldn't figure it out. And he said the same thing every time. It was Jesus. He opened my eyes. He opened my eyes. And so, you know, we said, just like this man, when Christ opens our eyes, we need to be ready to share with people. You know, how are you living with such peace in this trial? You know, how are you so joyful even in when everybody, all your coworkers around you are complaining about every little thing?
Yeah.
How are you this way? We need to have answers for that. And the answer is, Jesus changed my life.
There you go.
That's the simplest answer we can give to people. And that's all we need to give. And we went to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, if you want to look up that cross-reference. But then we also talked about that when Christ opens our eyes, we must expect suffering. And that goes back to that piece where the disciples went at the beginning, they were like, who sinned so that he suffered? And Jesus was like, well, it's really that the works of God might be displayed in him. And we see that the man, even though he was healed physically from his physical suffering, he didn't stop suffering because everybody cast him out. And so, you know, we would think that, oh man, Jesus healed this guy. He is living the life, no more suffering for him. And then boom, right after he gets healed, just suffering comes on because people are upset, which is weird, you know, that they're upset about him being able to see now. And they cast him out of the synagogue, kick him out of church because of what Jesus has done in his life. And, you know, that can happen. And it probably will happen. As we're getting into more and more tough times, we're seeing people who truly trust in Christ finally be able to stand out. You know, this cultural Christianity, I think, is being blown up. We're seeing people that, we're seeing the difference now between, are you following Jesus or are you following Jesus in this? And so when Jesus changes our life, we have to expect suffering. We can't just assume that it's going to be over. And that was the context of 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. It's all about suffering for righteousness' sake, is that header there for 1 Peter chapter 3. And we need to remind ourselves that Jesus suffered. He said we will have suffering in this world, and we need to expect it. And it's because the world hates Jesus. They love the darkness rather than the light. We got to remind ourselves of that. And then the last thing we said was we need to be proclaiming to the world that we were blind, but now we see. That's what this man kept saying. He said, I was this, now I'm this. And that's the life change that we need to share. Yeah, I was addicted to porn. Now I'm not. I was addicted to this. Now I'm not. And it was because of Jesus. I was this, now I'm this. And Jesus will change our life.
Absolutely.
Really, really good stuff. Shannon, you got anything else you want to add there?
No, I think you summed it up really good. The core of it all, you know, remember, is John's whole gospel account is highlighting who Jesus is. It's the whole point, that you can know who Jesus is and through him have salvation. That's the whole point. And so we're getting another window into Jesus as the Messiah, the light of the world. And it doesn't matter what kind of darkness you find yourself in, his light will cut right through it.
Yeah.
And all you have to simply do is, as you mentioned before, is just like this gentleman here, Lord, I believe, and worship him. Yeah. And you know, he was now cast out of one family and brought into another. And yeah. That's just awesome. So
good stuff. Well, thanks for listening this week, everybody. We hope you have a great week. We'll be back with you next time on the podcast. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Motion Church Weekly. As always, head over to our website at motionchurch.life or follow us on social media to keep up with the latest from Motion Church. We hope you have a great week.